Please stand for the reading of God's word. Again, it's Isaiah 49, 8 through 18. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar. Some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. So Brent is a dear friend. Oh, Tia, you are here. Glad you're here. Good to see you. Brent is a dear friend. He's part of our Axios group. And so it's always weird in a community this large. Some of you have no idea who this person is. And for some of us, this is rocking our worlds. And that's what it means to be part of this family. I've been thinking a lot. So my kind of the theme verse of my thoughts in the last 6 months has been Acts 17, which has been stirred up again this weekend, where Paul is speaking to the Athenians, and he says, "The God of the universe doesn't dwell in temples built by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, for he himself gives to everyone life and breath and everything else. For in him we live and move and have our being." And I've just been thinking about this God who doesn't need anything from us, but actually gives everything to us, everything, life and breath and everything else, Paul says. And he can pull those away from us. And we just finished James, and we find out that our lives are a vapor, and God gives breath and life, and God can pull that away. And for some of us today, his choices on how and when to do that feels very cruel and very hard. And really all we can do is go to his word and be reminded of what his character is, who he is, what he's all about, even when our experience is telling us something very different than that. And so we get to do that today. We get to look at this, I think, beautiful picture of who God is, and it's Mother's Day. And so sorry, moms, that this is a different day. And but what I want to do today is, you know, God is consistently portrayed as Father throughout the scriptures, and that is how we ought to refer to him, how we ought to think of him. But there are these little snippets in scripture where God is compared to a mom, where God even compares himself to a mom, and you get the tender, affectionate, compassionate heart of a mom for her kids that absolutely is a reflection of God's tender love and care for his children. And so we're going to look at a scripture from Isaiah that does that, in the prophets of all places, where you wouldn't expect to see this, maybe. So I want to take you through this passage today. I want to remind myself of who God is. And I want to honor you women in this room as well. And we always want to do that on this day. So A little context, Old Testament prophet is not exactly like the Hallmark Mother's Day card picture that you're looking for, of course. So just to let you know, this is set in about the 8th century BC, about 700 years before Jesus comes onto the scene. Isaiah, the largest of the prophets, I was talking to my dad last night, he said many scholars call Isaiah the fifth gospel. And there's such good news in Isaiah, and there's a lot of darkness in Isaiah as well. The context, as with all the prophets, there's two themes to every single prophet, as far as I can tell, the theme of judgment and the theme of salvation. And Isaiah is no different. And so you get this theme throughout the book of judgment for the waywardness of Israel. And Israel at this stage has been wayward, has turned from God, not for a couple of years, but for now several generations. So God has been long-suffering, but their waywardness has taken the form of idolatry, pursuing other gods, injustice, not caring for the vulnerable among them, spiritual apathy. And so Isaiah warns of coming judgment, ultimately through exile, through foreign invaders who would come and destroy Israel and carry them off into exile. But there's also these beautiful themes of salvation, this God who will never abandon his people but has this covenant love and faithfulness. He will remember that covenant, and he will rescue his people from the farthest edges of the earth. And so that's what Isaiah is about. And we're in a passage here, which is a salvation passage. God saying what he will do in the future and bringing the people back from exile and restoring the land because of his love and his covenant faithfulness to his people. And in this passage, you actually get a picture of two mothers. And you may not have seen it there, but there's two images of two entities that are being portrayed as a mom. And I thought, let's see these two moms on Mother's Day. One is actually a city being portrayed as a mother, and the other is our God being portrayed as a mother. So look at verse 14, and this is a city. Verse 14 says, "But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.'" This is a city being personified. Zion, this is as we know it as Jerusalem, the city of God. And Isaiah is imagining the day that's future to him at this time where this city will be ransacked. It will be taken over by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and the people will be carried off into exile. So I'm going to show you an image here of, this is not actually ancient Israel, but a picture of a ruined city. And that's been decimated. And Zion is being pictured as a mom who has lost her kids. Verse 19, "You were ruined and made desolate," God says. Verse 21, the city is speaking, "I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected." This is a mother having been decimated, her kids have been carried off into exile. And this mother is crying out in verse 14 with these words, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." And I was thinking, this is my friend's reality this morning that he wakes up to. He is this picture right here. His life has been torn apart from him. And I don't know what he's feeling today. We've been texting this morning. But this is where he's at right now. And those are dark words, aren't they? "The Lord has forgotten me." And of course, this city personifies the people of Israel and who will be carried off in exile. And they're having an experience of God has forgotten us. God has forsaken us. We are a forgotten people. And I just wanted to speak into or just invite you to think about that experience of being forgotten. That's a dark word. And it's such a visceral, emotional experience, being forgotten. I would encourage you to think, can you think of any times in your life where you just felt forgotten by the people you thought shouldn't forget about you? I would guess many of us have some childhood experience where, you know, we weren't included. There was something that happened. There was an event. There was a group of friends, and we were left out and forgotten. I was thinking of some of the young moms in our community. Young mom season can be a weird season, especially if you had a career that you really liked and you were part of a company that you did really good things and you felt there was a lot of fruit and you were part of something moving, and all of a sudden you find yourself a couple years later maybe at home if you're not in that career and just kind of doing laundry and clothes, and the world keeps going and you feel kind of small all of a sudden. Your life has just contracted and become small, and you can feel kind of forgotten or left behind. I'm sure any of us who have gone through profound grief know what it's like to have that initial rush of care and support and community and friends and family coming to you and loving you beautifully. And then 4, 6, 8 months down the road, it's crazy how fast the world just keeps going, isn't it? And that's just the way it is, right? And it's easy to feel forgotten, alone. I think the experience of aging, I would imagine, I'm not quite at that stage where I'm feeling this, but getting older and maybe having been right at the center of influence in your community or your company, and watching that over the years kind of just slowly become less oftentimes, and feeling like I was something. Right? And I'm just kind of an older person now, and people don't pay the same attention to me that they used to. I don't carry around the same weight in their eyes. I just feel a little bit forgotten. That's a hard feeling. And of course, to make this spiritual, we can all have experiences of feeling forgotten by God, forsaken by God. Many of us have prayers that have gone unanswered. And it feels like, man, that was a good prayer. That wasn't a selfish prayer. That was the right prayer. I wasn't praying for the, you know, whatever it was. It wasn't even for me. I wanted it for somebody else. And you just didn't answer. It was like you weren't listening. Dark times, sad times, times of depression, anxiety, right? These we can end up in dark places where it feels like, God, I don't feel like your light is present. I feel very alone in this. And or even just, I was thinking, just the humdrum sort of daily life where you're just kind of doing the mundane, ordinary things. And it's like, God, are you in this? Like, I remember when I was in college, everything was epic and cool and I was going to go off and change the world. Now here I am just sort of stuck in this ordinary life. And do you even see this? Are you around? Do you care about this? Have you forgotten me? And what's interesting in Israel's case is this was the result of their own decisions. It wasn't like they were doing everything awesome and then God, you know, just allowed this horrible thing to happen. I mean, they turned their backs on him. They're like, we're going to do it our way. We're going to do our own thing and figure it out, God. And God did figure it out, and they didn't like that. And they're feeling like, God, you've abandoned us. But they are absolutely living out the consequences of their own decisions. And it honestly, isn't that the case with us sometimes? I think so many of us, we kind of go like, you know, I'm not going to, God, you're on the back burner. I'm going to kind of do my thing, and I'm going to live my life, and then things get hard. And when we start complaining to God, God, where are you? And he's like, well, where have you been? Right? That's all that is in the mix of our lives here. And what I love about Scripture is that Scripture gives voice to this kind of question. Why, God, to this expression, you forgot me. I was thinking of the Psalms and phrases, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Here's one. I am cut off from your sight. God, it feels like you do not see me at all right now. I just feel like I do not feel seen by you in any meaningful way. We are given no signs from God, and none of us knows how long this will be. God, we're praying. God, we're waiting for you to show up, and we're getting nothing. We're not seeing anything from you. And of course, most famously, the psalm that Jesus has on his own lips at the cross. My God, why have you, in that darkest of words, forsaken me? So this is the first mother, Mother Zion, asking why, calling out in the midst of her brokenness. And I told you this is a salvation passage. I know it hasn't felt like that so far. It is a salvation passage. And God's response here is beautiful. And it is to remind us of a second mom, which is how God himself has the qualities of the perfect mom. So look at Yahweh's response. Verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? That is a rhetorical question from God. He's drawing on the most primal images that can come to mind, and I wanted to show you an image of that, right? He's drawing on this image, the baby at her breast, of a nursing mom with her little boy or girl. And our youngest is 8 now, so I'm, 6 to 7 years removed from witnessing this firsthand. And I know this is not every mother's experience, but this experience that God is intentionally drawing on, this is one of the most, like I said, this is the most primal of all relationships in my mind. You have this little life that is utterly, utterly helpless and dependent on mom. And you have mom nurturing. And what is so beautiful is everything, every nutrient that little one needs to survive is coming from mom, right? She doesn't need her veggies and her fruits and her meats and all the things. Like, mom has everything needed. It's really a miracle. Everything needed for this life is coming from mom. And there's this beautiful bond that is really, it's one of a kind. It's unforgettable. It's an unforgettable bond. And moms never forget that. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion? I love that word, compassion. We've talked a lot about that word lately. It's this deep-seated, tender affection, a heart that just longs for, that goes out to, that cares for in a very tender and visceral way. And that is the beautiful role of a mother, right? In the midst of all the brokenness of moms, this compassionate, tender, loving care for her kids. I asked some moms that I respect in this community, to share some words about their moms and what their moms meant to them. And I'm just going to read to you. I just asked them, like, when you think of your mom, what's a sentence or two that comes to mind? And here's some answers I got. She's loving and humble. She does everything with a servant's heart and somehow has the ability to make an entire room laugh. Here's another one. My mom is the most generous woman I know, and she lights up an entire room with her smile and warmth. Another one. She is a sacrificing, loving, wise prayer warrior who takes joy. This is a great mom quality. Who takes joy in my joys and laments in my suffering. With all her heart, my mom cares for and loves her husband, children, grandchildren, and friends, and shows that care and love by praying daily for the people in her life. She modeled it to me, what it looks like to be a hardworking, devoted, faithful woman of God, but her quick wit and easy smile make her a person you truly want to be around. And one more, my mom prays the way we wish we all prayed, continually. From the minute she wakes up to the minute she lays her head, she is praying off and on all day long for anyone who crosses her mind or crosses her path. Right? These pictures of mom and the best of what our moms are. And one of the qualities that moms have more than any other person is moms never forget us. Right? This was Israel's complaint. God has forgotten me. And moms never forget. I think of my wife as a mom. I think the same of my mom as a mom. But my wife never forgets anything about her children. This has caused some problems in the marriage, as you can imagine, because I am not as good at remembering things. But she takes in everything. She takes in every moment with her kids. And when she's not with her kids, she is often looking at photos of her kids, reliving memories, reliving moments. But she just takes it all in. And I don't want to overly stereotype here, but I think us dads, we don't remember quite as well. We forget more easily. We're more likely to forget a birthday or an anniversary or a meaningful conversation or an event. Our love is more often, again, stereotype here, it can more often be conditioned on performance and obedience. And that's really the way the world works, right? The world remembers us when we are being awesome, when we're achieving, when we're performing at a high level, when we're succeeding. The world loves and remembers us. And when we're failing, when we're subpar, when we're just ordinary, the world so quickly forgets us, doesn't it? And the beautiful thing about moms is that's why we have moms. And again, broken world. I know this wasn't all of our experience of moms, but moms remember. They see us in our good, in our bad moments, and everything in between. They take it all in with compassion and nurturing care, and they remember us. When the world forgets us, mom remembers. And God is drawing on that image. That's the image he wants to give us as we have that question, God, have you forgotten me? He says, could a mom ever forget you? And then he says, theoretically, even if that were possible, though she may forget you, I will never forget you. This is who I am, regardless of your feelings, that tender, compassionate love and care, seeing you and your good and your bad, this is who I am. This is the way my heart beats for my people. It's the heartbeat of a mom for her kids. And what I love about this passage, as I already said, this is not Israel's finest hour. This is when they have turned their backs on God. They have given him the middle finger, essentially, and said, we're going to do our own thing. Sorry, but that's reality. I didn't mean that to be funny. That's what they've done for centuries. And now they're complaining. Like a kid, again, who rebels against his parents and wants to do his own thing and gets into trouble and then is complaining that mom and dad aren't the way he wants them to be. And even in that hour, God says, I love you, Israel. I love you. I see you. I notice you. Oops. I could never forget you. I have the love of a mother for her children. And then he gives us one other image in verse 16. Take a look at verse 16. I love this. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Now, some of you in this room, I'll bet we have more in second service, but some of you in this room have tattoos. And you have engraved your loved one on the palm of your hand or some part of you. I think it's a terrible idea personally, but you have, and I have dear friends that are right here next to me that have tattoos, so. But you have the names of loved ones on your hand, or you have a phrase. You might have a Hebrew word, or a word, or a poem, or a line that is so dear to you that you have said, "I want this to be a part of me forever, until my resurrection body." And I've never thought about, do we keep our tattoos in our resurrection bodies? That would be a question for later. But sorry, I've really gone off now. I want this. This is part of me forever. I want to hold this near and dear to my heart. And I don't ever want to forget it. And so I'm going to write it on myself. And this is the image that God is giving us of his people. You are a part of me. I don't ever want to forget you. And I never will forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. It's a metaphor in God's case, of course. But what I love is in Jesus of Nazareth, right? When God is embodied and has a body in Jesus Christ, he literally, we are engraved on the palms of his hands. Like he has scars forever that are scars that have engraved us, and not us at our best moments, but us at our worst moments. And he's gone to the cross for our sins, and now he has forever in his resurrection body scars that remind him forever and remind us forever of his love for us. I grew up singing the worship song, Nails in Your Hands, and it says, till the heavens pass away, all your scars will still remain, and forever they will say just how much you love me. And this is our ultimate answer to these deep questions. I mean, I look at, again, what my friend is going through this weekend, and I don't get any of why God would allow this. But our deepest answer is the person of Jesus Christ. And the scars, our names engraved on his hands, and we have a Savior who suffers with us, who is in it, who doesn't remain up in heaven and say, dear, I'm sorry that happened to you, but enters into the deepest, darkest thing that could ever happen in this world and is a companion with us in our suffering. And he is our, without having an answer, he is the embodied answer we have to these questions of why. He steps into those questions with us and he says, I suffer with you. I've taken this on myself. I've redeemed it. And this is the picture that we get of our God. I've engraved my people. You are so close, near and dear to my hearts, he's saying. So this is the picture I want us to have on Mother's Day, this compassionate mother. And he responds in this passage with salvation. Let me just read it. I love it. He speaks to this barren woman, Zion, the empty city. Verse 17, your children hasten back, right? They will return. And those who laid waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. God envisions the time where the city will be full of her children again, as God restores his people and his land out of his compassionate, motherly love for his people. And this is a consistent theme of Scripture, the God who comes alongside the forgotten people with his tender love and mercy. I was thinking of one psalm. I love this psalm, the description of God here. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. These are the forgotten people of ancient society. And God says, I am a God for those kinds of people. I never forget. I come to the forgotten people with my tender love and mercy. So I want to leave you just with two really simple questions. The first is kind of what I've already been saying, but as you sit with your life right now, where do you need to be reminded of God's tender, loving compassion for you? Where does the image of the perfect mom, where are you in need of that, of a God who embodies that so beautifully for you? And I want to just encourage you to think in two ways of that. Maybe there's some ways like Israel where you've been wandering from God. There's areas in your life where you've kind of said, I'm going to keep God at a distance. I'm going to do my own thing because I want to do my own thing. And I'm going to go this way. And maybe today is a day to go, because you're feeling in that spot like God doesn't see me, or God doesn't love me, or God's not going to forgive me, or God's not with me in this. And it's always a hard to figure out, how do I turn back? Because I know I've kind of messed this up. And today, maybe you just need to be reminded of this God is like, I'm just waiting for you to turn around. Like the minute you turn around, I'm there with open arms. You just have to turn. And period. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to make up for it. You don't have to do anything. Just turn to me. This is you will experience me as judge as long as you run away from me. The minute you turn around and return me this, I am mom. I am dad. This is what I offer you. And so maybe that's what it is for you. Or maybe it's just a place of hurt. Many of us are hurting this weekend. But maybe there's a place of hurt or loneliness or fear or anxiety. And you just need that picture of God who's tender with you. He's not just a distant kind of deity up there somewhere doing his thing. But he really sees you and sees you where you are now, and he's with you in this. And I'll just say, I was processing my own life this week. This is before this all that happened with this weekend. And I'm amazed at how quickly I can lose sight of the tenderness of God. That's what I would say. And so maybe this is like you. My stated theology is always accurate on this point. If you ask me, Dave, what do you think God's like? I will give you the right answers. God is gracious and compassionate, tender-hearted towards his people. But what I was realizing is how quickly I cannot be living from that place. Like my heart theology, the gut in me, like how I'm living my day. It's like, it feels like my heart just quickly develops a callus, is what I was, the image that came to mind. It just sort of over time, there's like a, it's like a, just a callus that develops and it gets hardened and I lose sight of it and I'm not living. I'm believing in my head, but I'm not living out of a place of God's love. I'm living from fear. I'm living from anxiety. I'm living from this image of a God who's kind of disappointed in me. And what I need is God's Spirit to regularly remove that, to circumcise my heart as the image again, and to draw me back into his tender love and care. And so maybe today for you, there's an area in your life where you just, you want to ask God, I've got it up here. I need your help. I want to live from that place. I want to live as your beloved child today. So where do you need to be reminded of this tender God? And then what I thought, what we need to not just end there, but to ask the question, how are you being called in your life this season to reflect God's heart for the forgotten people out there? There's a lot of forgotten people out there. You know, we live in Orange County. We live in a place where people succeed, they look good, they make a lot of money, right? They're busy, they're doing their things. And if you're not those things, it's pretty easy to get passed up around here. Pretty easy to become a forgotten person. And we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet, the tangible hands and feet of Jesus in this world. And so we get this opportunity to see the forgotten people, to minister to the forgotten people. The church for 2,000 years at its best has been so beautiful in ministering to the forgotten people. And Jesus, one of Jesus' great litmus tests when he returns is, how did you care for my forgotten people? I'm thinking of that famous parable. Then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep and the goats, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Why? For I was hungry, Jesus says, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to me. You saw me in the forgotten people, and you ministered and loved them, and you blessed me as you did that. And so what would it look like for you to look up and say, who are the forgotten people or who are feeling forgotten right now in my life? And it could be dramatic. It could be, you know, ministry to people like that, or it could just be, you know, what friend, what person on my street probably is feeling overlooked and forgotten, and how can I be the hands and feet in Jesus for that person? They are tempted to think God doesn't see me. How can I be God's answer to that temptation? No, God does see you. The reason is they've sent me to you. How beautiful is it to be able to say that? God has sent me, but you're not going to say it out loud, but God has sent me to you to remind you that you're seen, that you are loved, that you are cared for. I am the tangible evidence of God's love for you. That is a pretty overwhelming responsibility and a beautiful privilege. So I leave you with that. Where do you need to be reminded of God's love for you, and how might you remind somebody else this week of God's love for them? Let's pray. Father, would you bring this tender image in Isaiah and so many other parts of Scripture deep into our hearts today, even as we go forth and live our lives today on this Mother's Day and then into this week. Would your Spirit be astir, brood over our hearts and minds, drawing us into this compassionate God, that we might live not for your approval or for your affection, but we might live from it, that we might taste it and see it We might trust in it, and it might fill us up, that we might pour that out to others and love them in return. So God, minister to us. As we sing to you now, Lord, would you minister to those parts of us that desperately need to be loved by you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.